Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Well, that was a nice intro on this Thanksgiving morning. Good morning to everyone. Welcome to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. I am not any of those three people. I am Shay Cornett. My husband, Jordan Cornett, is here with us on a very good... We already have a family affair going on this Thanksgiving morning. Good morning to you, sweets.
Good morning to you, my lovely wife. And for all of those watching, wondering where Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin are, they're not here. They're enjoying the holiday. Me and Shay are in working together here. We are a married couple. And I think we deserve a pat on the back.
Okay.
We deserve a pat on the back because it's 6 a.m. in the morning. And I know a lot of married people out there. You know a lot of married people, too.
I think everyone in the world does. Yes.
A lot of our friends, married people. How many of them are functioning at a high level together, communicating, going through an entire show, rocking with each other for 4 hours, and starting that whole ride at 4 a.m. in the morning and aren't fighting? Like, as a married couple, to get to this point at 6 a.m., prepared to do 4 hours of radio today and tomorrow, but getting our heads to work together and communicate starting at 4 a.m., not a lot of married couples out there doing that. And I know some have infants and children, they call them, and are raising those children, but they're not doing it together that early in the morning. Not together. It's usually one off to the side. So pat ourselves on the back. No matter how this goes,
okay,
we've gotten off to a pretty good start because this is a new wrinkle to a marriage, working this early.
I'll give it to you. I don't normally talk to you ever this early in the morning, no, unless I'm scolding you for slamming the toilet seat down and it wakes and shakes the whole house. Besides that,
getting I go to the restroom a lot.
I don't think we ever communicate this early in the morning. So happy to be chatting with you. You actually spoke to me on the ride in. I was very impressed with you.
Yes.
So we will be filling in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin for the next 2 days. Normally we are on the weekends. We host game day. We cover the NFL mostly on the weekend. So we're happy to be with you guys on a weekday. There's been a lot of things going on in the NFL over the last 24 hours. It's Thanksgiving Day. What is the order of things? It normally goes family, food, football, right?
100%.
Is the order things go in. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Well, things kind of got tipped upside down yesterday when we found out Steelers and Ravens, which were supposed to be the game of tonight, of today, the premier game, is now going to be postponed until Sunday, at least as of now, that's the situation, because of positive COVID-19 tests. Now, this is nothing new. There has been scheduling gymnastics and every single sport virtually besides the NBA and the NHL because of COVID-related issues. However, it is Thanksgiving Day. As I said, we say family, we say food, we say football. And this was supposed to be the premier game. And so there's a little bit of hurt feelings from especially the Steelers side, because now this is the second time their game has been postponed due to COVID issues that weren't their own. Happened with the Titans, and now it's happening with the Ravens because the Ravens have the positive test. There's been a few tweets come out from the Steelers side, frustration bubbling over. They don't even know if they're going to play this game on Sunday at this point because the Ravens are still testing positive. However, the NFL has said that they're going to play it Sunday, so we're going to proceed as such. The frustration, I'm not really here for it.
Like, you don't have any patience. You don't have any tolerance for it.
I'm not here for it. Like, I get... things kind of suck right now, like for everyone. I get schedules are being changed constantly. I didn't even know I was going to be sitting in this chair 5 days ago. Okay. Like, that's just the way things go in 2020. I don't want to hear complaining.
Yeah. And I'm with you. I think this is how guys in this era with social media communicate. They go right to their social media and they explain how they feel. And, you know, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, Eric Ebron, these guys are letting it know that they're frustrated. They're frustrated because it's an immense platform. It's a big stage. You grow up playing the sport, excited for these kind of opportunities to be playing on Thanksgiving and to show what you got. And oh, by the way, you're 10-0. So, and oh, by the way, you've been snake bitten by COVID twice. It happened with the Titans and how they handled COVID.
And they were a little reckless as well.
Their recklessness put the Steelers in that position to immediately enter a bye week so early on. And now it's the Ravens' recklessness with somebody as part of their strength and conditioning staff that's out there carrying on recklessly. So the fact it's happened twice to them, that's where the issue comes from. But at the end of the day, everybody has to be flexible and fluid in 2020. So like you feel, I think a lot of people feel that way.
So just to clarify, the Ravens disciplined a strength and conditioning coach for not reporting symptoms and not consistently wearing a mask or the tracking device that a lot of these NFL staffers or players or whatever wear to help with contact tracing. This is all according to reports. So this is what they believe contributed to this outbreak of COVID-19 cases amongst Ravens players, personnel, et cetera. Okay, so that's two separate issues, right? Like, it's okay to be aggravated, annoyed that someone was reckless with this. That I completely understand, because let me tell you, if I'm walking through a grocery store and someone's reckless, like, you're instantly on my bad list.
Oh, when you stick the finger up and start pointing, I know you mean business. I know what that feeling is like when you go there.
No, you always say it's when I say, what did you just say?
Yeah, when you ask me to repeat myself because I said something a little too brazen. That's usually how that goes. Yeah. And the other side to this for the Steelers team is I think they feel like there's other teams that have been shorthanded, that have gone out there battling attrition with COVID and has still played football. And you look at a 49ers team that's been riddled with injury, and remember, COVID ravaged their team, and yet the Packers flew out there West Coast, played that football game, Packers ultimately won, and the Niners were shorthanded, even more so with COVID. And people are looking at it and saying, probably on the Steelers side, why aren't the Ravens forced to play in this situation? Circumstance is different because
completely
this is still
different.
Snowballing.
Right.
Contact tracing enabled the 49ers to get a grip on that thing to the point where they could go out there and play football.
Right.
That's not the case here with the Ravens.
Correct. This is more similar to the Titans situation, ironically, the two teams that affected the Steelers and all this, where they're continuously having positive cases. There were three positives yesterday. We'll find out here in a little bit if there were any positives this morning. And according to NFL protocols, you need to have a consistent number of negative tests in order to play a football game,
and
they're just not having it yet. So it's completely different, yes, than the 49ers and the Packers. But also, I want to stop comparing again. Like, not the year to do it. This isn't like, oh, he got to play. I don't. What are we doing here?
But I just think what you're seeing is the mental fatigue. People hitting the wall with how they deal with COVID and sports mirroring society. I think everybody's entitled to have frustrations mount. And when you're visible athletes like this, they take those frustrations to social media. And so have you, I'll go ahead and answer this for you. I live with you. Have you gotten frustrated to the point where I just want to go see family. I just want to be able to travel. I just want to be able to do these things. You're just not going to Twitter and sharing them on social media. So this is happening everywhere. It's just the era these athletes live in where they're having a natural reaction. I mean, Evan, the producer, Evan does a great job here with the show. Evan, what was your take on the frustration that these Steelers maybe have? Because I thought it was an interesting wrinkle to this.
Yeah, I just thought that they were frustrated because if they were planning to have Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday with their family, even if it's a small gathering, and they find out Wednesday that their game is moved from Thursday to Sunday, that throws a wrinkle. Like, they probably planned this entire weekend on playing Thursday night, having Thanksgiving over the weekend, probably on Sunday with their family. And now they're probably a frustration. You guys are married. These guys are going home to their wives and having to say, sorry, honey, you got to go to the grocery store now on Wednesday and cook a meal for five people.
And let me
tell
you, the grocery store is a nightmare right now. It's a complete.
Hey, I
know.
My wife has sent me twice in the last 2 days.
I haven't seen crowds in months. And then I went to the grocery store. I'm like, oh, this is what it was like to have crowds.
Hold on. You act like I can't attest to that. I'm going to the grocery store, too. It's
when
not
was
just
the last time you went to the grocery store?
I went the other week.
The other week?
That's not how I plan to answer
the
question.
I went the
I'm usually
other
firing
week.
A little bit better at all cylinders to have a better reaction to that one. That was a loss. You could chalk that up on a loss column for me. Look, Evan, I hear you. That's a fair gripe. But I would counter with this. So, Shay, Evan says that this puts a wrinkle in your plans for family and you have to reshuffle how you're going to approach Thanksgiving. I'd much rather be in that position as a Steeler or Raven. Oh, let's talk about the Steelers because they're the ones frustrated. I'd much rather have that frustration than playing in this game where the Ravens don't have a handle on COVID and it does spread to the Steelers and they return to their families and their elderly grandmother or grandfather, someone who's compromised in their family, they come into contact with, and it becomes a fatal situation. Because that's what COVID can be. So at the end of the day, erring on the side of safety is a tough pill that the Steelers are going to have to swallow.
Correct.
Because it's a tough pill that America and the globe are having to swallow. And that's just the reality of the situation.
Agreed. That was Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
I go to the grocery store.
We are the Cornettes. I'm Shea Bedler Cornett. He's Jordan Cornett. Up next, a battle for first place on Thanksgiving Day between 2-3-win teams. You heard that right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
I like the beats. Hitting hard. It's early in the morning.
You know who that is, right?
Yeah, Beyonce.
That is not Beyonce. It's Hove.
Jay-Z. I don't know. I haven't had coffee. Will you just relax?
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Hope.
You got the whole crew mad at
it's
you.
It's a little fuzzy in my ear.
Yates on the board just walked out the room. I mean,
it sounds like Freedom by Beyonce.
I threw my pen.
Can we just keep it real? This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
I set you up there for failure. That's my bad.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. My name is not any of those three. I'm Shea Cornett. He's Jordan Cornett. Thanks for being with us. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. It is Thanksgiving. So what do we got today? We've got some football. Supposed to have three games. If you haven't heard by now, we only got two. It is what it is. No Steelers, Ravens. So instead, we've got Cowboys and the Washington football team. A battle of 2-3-win teams in the NFC East.
Don't act like it doesn't mean
it
something.
Does. And I should not be making light of this because I'm more invested for some reason or another in the NFC East than I feel like any other division in football. I don't know why I care so much, but I feel fully invested. Let me just finish the second game.
You like a good comeback story.
I do. Texans-Detroit is the second game of the day. So let's start, though, with the premier game now today.
Well, now, because there's no Ravens-Steelers, this feels like the big ticket on Thanksgiving.
This is the big ticket. Cowboys and the Washington football team. Now, this is why it's a big deal, people. Both teams are 3-7. Forget the record. It's over. The Eagles are 3-7-1. They're a half game above every other team in that division in first place. Whoever wins this game, I'm assuming there's going to be a winner, which is something I should never assume in the NFC East. This could very well end in a tie. And then we have a three-way tie for first place. But whoever wins this game automatically propels himself to first place in the NFC East, which we all know that means first place in the NFC East. They get a playoff game at home. Yay. So that's why today means a lot. It's also the Cowboys, America's football team, playing the Washington football team, who have a really good comeback story, especially with their quarterback, Alex Smith. Now, go ahead. I know you're
itching. It's time to dead all that about America's team. Not when you're playing like this. Look, there's still an infatuation with the polarizing Cowboys. I get it. But if I want to give, and if anybody wants to give these Cowboys any reason to talk about them, right? They've got our attention after what they did against the Vikings. Against all odds. Nobody thought they'd be able to do that. Now you're in a position to win back-to-back games, something they haven't done yet this season, something that doesn't happen at all in that NFC East. And as I look at this matchup, it comes down to the trenches. It's not a sexy matchup, and it's not going to be sexy with how the Cowboys are going to have to win this game. it's going to come down to offensive line play. And we know about the injuries that have been sustained by the Cowboys up front. But Zach Martin moving to right tackle gave them a little bit of J.U. Ice, gave them some juice, activated a run game, and Ezekiel Elliott all of a sudden surpasses a threshold of 100 yards rushing. And then it became a domino effect. You saw them. It's like they were building confidence because they're like, oh, it's working.
Hold on. Can we just skirt? Like, you're like praising the Cowboys for having solid offensive line play and Ezekiel Elliott rushing for over 100 yards. By the way, it's the first time he's rushed for over 100 yards this season.
What have you done for me lately, Shay? Isn't that what you say to me? I can't live off the past if, oh, I've taken the trash out. I've cooked dinner. I've gone to the grocery store.
What
if
are I've you done, doing right now? Are I, you comparing yourself
let
to
me
Ezekiel
finish.
Elliott?
Why are you yelling at me? Can I finish? So if I've done stuff weeks ago, you don't care about that. It's what have you done for me, honey, lately? The Cowboys have done it lately. The last time we saw the Cowboys, they were doing it. And that's why, before I was so rudely interrupted, I'll tell you why this matters. Because this pass rush from Washington is my nemesis. What did that Washington pass rush do to me last week?
Okay, my husband here, Jordan Cornette, is from Cincinnati. Yes, he loves Skyline Chili, and he loves Joe Burrow.
Who doesn't love Joe Burrow?
Who the Washington football team knocked on the ground.
Maybe for a season and a half, we don't quite know yet. Washington, I will never forget this. I don't care if you change your name from football team to whatever. We got beef. We'll have that for another time. But when you look at it, Ryan Kerrigan, Montez Sweat, Chase Young, these guys also got after Andy Dalton, knocked him out of the game. And then it went in a lopsided manner, 25-3. Washington wins that first matchup. Mm-hmm. To me, this is going to be a game where can Andy Dalton stay upright? Can the Dallas offensive line activate that run game, get it going there, then you get into the play action? You've got big-time playmakers. Dalton hasn't trusted Michael Gallup, their biggest, it seems like, stretch-the-field guy. Is this a game where he gets involved because he has some time to make some plays? One of the best pass defenses in the NFL is Washington. It's also because they don't give quarterbacks time. If Dallas can give Andy Dalton just a little bit of time, they're not getting home, and CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper, along with Michael Gallup, can start making plays. I think this is a game where a few scores could put Dallas in position because their defense looked so much better last week. And I know, Shay, I know historically, I know what they've done all season too. But I'm living in the right now because that's what 2020 has forced me to do. And I think this is the most talented team in the NFC East. I think this is an opportunity. Yes, this is the opportunity for these Cowboys to make a real statement. Statement is relative as we talk about the NFC East, but a statement, no doubt.
You just like that if you look on paper and they're playmakers, you like that the Cowboys have more than the Redskins.
So you didn't listen to anything
Washington
I just
football
said,
team.
Clearly.
No, I listened to everything you just said. I know you. That's what you're doing, okay? Washington is tied for the third most sacks in the NFL. They had 4 sacks and 6 quarterback hits last week against Cincinnati.
So it goes back to Dallas's offensive line playing well.
Dallas's offensive line played well because they did some shuffling against the Vikings. The Vikings.
Very different team. You're right.
The Vikings have 4 wins. Let's just be clear who the Vikings are, okay? And I'm not hating on the Vikings.
How many wins does Washington have?
Because they have 3. But Jordan, I'm just saying.
It's a much better defense.
You are praising the Cowboys off of 1 week of work. 1 week.
You're doing the most. I'm not praising anybody. I'm just looking at the matchup in front of me and doing what I'm reasonably paid to do here. And that is talk about...
That was a shot at your boss. I'm just reasonably paid.
Reasonable is accurate. I'm doing the job I'm paid to do. And it's to pick a winner here. And to me, if I look at the... If we're tree-topping the NFC East, Dallas has the most talent. The Giants are a very close second.
Yeah, I would disagree.
Washington doesn't fit into that fold for me.
That's fine. And that's fair. I think the Giants have more talent than Dallas, far and away. I don't know that they have more talent on paper, but they seem to... To use a line from Lamar Jackson, they seem to want it more. They just seem like they're more in the hunt, and we can dive more into that later because I fully think that the Giants are winning this NFC East.
We didn't even get to the other game because this 3-7 matchup of teams is juicy.
I know, it is. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed to describe an NFL team using a Thanksgiving dish. For example, we're over here talking a lot about the Cowboys. The Cowboys, and I'm speaking for you, we're just going to call them the turkey, right? You got to have them on Thanksgiving Day. And it's kind of the staple of Thanksgiving, but it's not really the highlight. It's not really the highlight on the plate. You feel me? So we're asking you to describe that. You need a turkey on Thanksgiving, but it's not the best thing on the table. You get it. Be a part of Kayshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart Scott's going to join us next on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line in 5 minutes.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on Thanksgiving morning. Welcome on in. I am not any of those three people. My name is Shea Pepler-Cornett, Jordan Cornett, my husband here with you. It's already a family affair on Thanksgiving morning, and we love that. You're listening to ESPN Radio on the ESPN app. You can tell your smart speaker to play ESPN. And now we are going to go to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. That's where all our guests join us, and that is where Bart Scott, Pro Bowler, second team All Pro Bowl. You know you love him. He joins us now on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Bart, good morning to you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. And the big story of the game of the day is the fact that we will not see the Steelers and the Ravens playing tonight in primetime on Thanksgiving Day. You, being a former member of one of these teams, understands the significance of playing on Thanksgiving Day. How do you feel the Steelers should feel about having their game moved due to the Ravens' recklessness, essentially?
Well, it's the Ravens' recklessness. It's not the players' recklessness, and that's really ultimately who it hurts the most is the players. And listen, I'm not saying this because I'm a Raven. I'm saying this because it's the right thing to do. You know, you need to keep everything in perspective if you're the Steelers and understand the world in which we're living in. I understand that it's an inconvenience for them, but imagine how the Ravens feel as well and what an unfair competitive advantage it would be for you to have to go play in any game, let alone a rivalry and the one that has implications about playing in the playoffs. And you had no running backs. You were down to your third-string running back. How about if this would have happened to them by no fault of the players and Ben and Mason Rudolph was hurt? How would they feel about going in that game, understanding how important it is? I think that the NFL did the right thing. I understand the implications, you know, financially, what it means, you know, pulling the game from NBC. How do you reseed this game? Do they play on NBC on a 1 o'clock game, which is unheard of? How does that affect their other television partners? It's a lot that goes on into this. But I feel like if you're going to have the safety of both teams, you know, in mind, what if one of those players have a false negative and then they give it to one of the Steelers? And then in the midst of their, path to try and go undefeated, they have an outbreak on their team because they played a team that had positive tests.
Bart, over your illustrious career, I imagine there's been a time at least where your Ravens or Jets have played on Thanksgiving. Maybe not. But can you
really,
kind of...
Really? You got to ask me that the butt fumble day? I mean, I have to live that every day. Really? That's where we're going to go?
That's exactly where...
We're picking scabs today. That's what we're doing.
And you know what? Mark's my guy, too. I actually should not have even done that. That I should have had that in the back of my head as knowledge.
Turkey wasn't good either. And after I did that, guess what we had? We had rump roast for dinner. That's what we got. Rump roast is for losers.
So now that we've relived that awful memory, there is something incredibly special. I feel like that may be lost in all of this is the fact that this is a Steelers team that was so juiced to be undefeated and have this opportunity to play on a stage. What does a Thanksgiving Day football game mean? Because I think that's where some of this vitriol and frustration comes from, is that this game is removed from such a marquee place on the schedule.
Listen, whenever the Ravens and Steelers play, and especially when there's implications involved, meaning that the Steelers can continue to be undefeated and they can potentially damage the Ravens' opportunity to be in the playoffs, it's always a big game. I don't care if you put this game at 1 o'clock and if it's on regular television, everybody's going to watch that game because of the implications. I don't care if you make it available for everybody, they'll still be able to find that game, they'll still have that game. And if you're the Steelers, look at it the glass half full. right? The glass half full is the fact that they get to spend Thanksgiving with their family members, and they get to play on Sunday, a more traditional day. The Ravens, it would be unfair advantage, the fact that they haven't even had an opportunity to practice. So you want them to play without any of their running backs, go to their third string running back in Gus Edwards, and then come out and then don't have practice. And that's how you want to do it. That's how you want to have your pursuit of going undefeated to go with that path, saying that you basically got an unfair advantage to try and win. And understand. Don't get it twisted. The Ravens dominated the Steelers the first game. Mm-hmm. They beat Big Ben up. It was Lamar Jackson's turnovers in the red area that led to the Steelers winning that game. So maybe, just maybe, the Steelers looked at that film and said, oh, boy, we got away with one. Let's try and get away with two because this team has our number. This team, you know, out-physicaled us, and we got away with one. And they got away with the victory, and they're trying to steal another hot W.
Okay, you want to talk about unfair. Why don't they give the 49ers a quick phone call? Bart Scott joining us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
Let's move on. MetLife Turf. We love that MetLife Turf, right?
Yeah, do we? All right, let's move on to the Eagles and what's going on with them. And I know this team is not very good, 3-6-1. However, they are right now, as it stands today, first place in the NFC East. Probably not for long, but you never know. Could end the tie today.
Yeah, could be a tie.
Carson Wentz is on pace to be sacked 60 times this season. His decision making is questionable. Anyone with two eyes can see that. He has fallen off from who he was the year that he could have, should have won the Super Bowl MVP. Do you think it's time for Doug Peterson and the Eagles to maybe say, hey, let's sit this week out and let's start Jalen Hurts?
Not at all. I think at the end of the day, he is an MVP quarterback, and he does give you the best chance to win. I mean, I think, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles and Doug Peterson needs to stop pointing the finger and point the thumb and understand that, you know, the reason why Carson Wentz is on pace to be sacked, you know, 60 times is the fact that they mortgaged the future for the present. Mm-hmm. And listen, they got what they wanted. They got the desired result. You talk about an organization that's never won a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl, and they went all in. No team. I mean, you think the Houston Rockets was transactional? No other GM has been transactional than Maury, than Howie Roseman, and all the moves that he made. And what did he do? He mortgaged the future to $64 million over the cap next year. And listen, it don't matter. They got to reload. They have to start over. And we've seen guys have to reload. We've seen after the Legion of Boom outpriced themselves with Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and Sherman, they had to make sure and reload for Russell Wilson to say, hey, we got to win a different way. Because now our quarterback isn't cheap anymore, so we can't go out and get all these shiny pieces. We can't go out and go get Tommy Jernigan. He gets hurt, then go out and make another trade and go get another trade and bring all these, you know, people in and don't have to pay the credit card bill. Eventually, the credit card bill is due, and the interest rates are pretty damn high, and they're going to have to restart it all over again. But it's not Carson Wentz's fault. He didn't forget how to play football. He's still a young quarterback. You have him at a great price when you look at now, you know, if he was an MVP-caliber quarterback, and you look at what, you know, average quarterbacks get paid nowadays, right, he's still at a discount. You think about, you know, they're not paying him $40 million, Mahomes' money. They're not paying him Deshaun Watson's money. But when he's on, can he still play at that level? Absolutely. I mean, he's throwing to Alshon Jeffrey, who looks like he's having, you know, from a wide receiver standpoint, you know, we always say one uniform per person.
You're listening to All-Pro Bart Scott. Bart Scott does a great job with him and Han, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN New York. You can also catch him on Get Up at 8 a.m., Shea Cornett, Jordan Cornett filling in for Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin here. And kind of the quarterback, Carson Wentz. And I don't think you have the similar sentiment for the quarterback in Chicago, who at this moment in time seems like he's no longer the starter. Nick Foles goes down a week ago in that matchup versus the Vikings and gets injured in that game, gets taken off in a stretcher. And Bart, you don't really have time for it. I'm curious your thoughts on Nick Foles and his performance last week, him getting injured, and his future as a quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
Well, first of all, there's no crying in football. And the fact that he was crying on a cart surprised me. I thought maybe, you know, he was, you know, they had an amputator or something. Who knew it was just a hip pointer, which is a boo-boo. Meanwhile, I got to watch 40-year-old, 41-year-old Drew Brees with 11 cracked ribs talking about put me in, coach. I'm like, really? What's going on now? This one guy got a boo-boo. Other guy got 11 cracked ribs, and he's fine. Reminded me of Paul Pierce getting carted out in a wheelchair for a shoulder injury the same week that Candace Parker popped hers back in. Like, come on, man. Have a little toughness. This is football, Nick Foles. But, I mean, did we not think that, you know, to quote the great Denny Green, that he was what we thought he was? Like, he's a guy that's great in moderation, like wine, right? You can't have wine every day. You don't want to have wine every day. It's great in moderation.
Speak for yourself.
Well, you don't take the top shelf stuff every day. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
So Nick Foles would be Andre's box wine. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you got to understand, every once in a while you just break it out because you got nothing else to drink. The fact that he's playing, consistently, this is the same guy that lost his job to a dude that wears Levi Dunkaroo jean shorts in Minshew Mania. You know what I mean? After paying him so. Like, we've seen him at different times in his career play for different organizations, and he's never been the guy. He's a guy that can come off the bench. He's a guy that, the most popular guy on the team is the backup quarterback, but he's not your starter. And this was Nagy trying to pull a rabbit out of the hat, understanding that, Mitch Trubisky is even worse. He's going to go down as Jake Locker. He's going to go down as Blaine Gabbert. He's going to go down as Blake Bortles, a guy that they reached for, and forever the guy that they passed on and moved up to get instead of getting Patrick Mahomes.
I love that you referenced the type of boxed wine. I don't know that I don't even know the names of boxed wine.
He's a renaissance man. He knows the classy stuff and he knows the low end stuff.
I love it. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mag Dog 2020 all day.
Oh, now don't take me back to my college days here.
All right, Bart. So today is Thanksgiving. That is obvious. So we're going to have some food at some point in the day.
A lot of
it. So what we're doing today is we're comparing NFL teams to a favorite Thanksgiving dish, right? So we compared earlier the example, turkey, Cowboys, got to have it on the plate, not the most exciting thing on the plate. It goes along with Thanksgiving. Yeah. You get the gist. Yep. Give me, why don't we do Ravens and Jets? That plays to you. Ravens and Jets as Thanksgiving dishes. What would you say?
Well, the Jets would probably be the potato salad, which everybody knows, especially the ones that grow up in African-American homes. Like, who made the potato salad? If it's raisins or nuts in it, you don't even attempt to do it because you know you're going to miss work the next day because you're going to be sick. So you don't touch the potato salad. Right now, the Jets would be the potato salad of the NFL. You don't even touch it. You don't even sample it. You say, you know what? I'm good.
Wait. I just need to understand. You have potato salad on Thanksgiving? That's like a barbecue food.
Potato salad, that's universal. I can eat potato salad anytime. It's a nice, cool starch.
Bart, you can't really see the optics right now of the radio show, so that'll answer a lot of questions for you. We'll just leave it like that.
No, I get it. I understand. I'm watching you guys on TV, too, at the same time. I do my homework. I do my due diligence.
That's why he's the best.
I mean, no string bean casserole over here either. We go collard greens with smoked turkey or ham hock. That's the difference, though.
Bart, she had the nerve to ask me a couple years ago when we first got together if macaroni was something that was had on Thanksgiving. I almost ran out the door and never looked back.
What? You better have that evaporated milk, and that thing better have 35,000 cheeses on it.
Evaporated milk. Okay, let's leave it right there. Unless you got one for the Ravens. You got one for the Ravens?
Oh, I want them all. I want all the teams.
All right, I definitely have something for the Ravens. Let's see. If I would say the Ravens would be the Ravens right now would be like the sweet potatoes or the yams. You know what I mean? Like, they're good, they're sweet, but, it's like, I only want a little bit of it. I don't really trust it. It's not my main course. I'm not going to fill up on this because I want to make sure that I get that sage sausage stuffing or dressing, depending on what part of the country you're on. You want to get that gravy on top of it, right? So you want to save those hearty bites. You'll sample the sweet potatoes because, you're like, it's a healthy starch. You know what I mean? It's sweet. Mama got them candy. She got the yams candy. So I'll eat that. So I like them, but I only want a little bit of them. And I don't really trust them that much because it's not my favorite thing right now.
I like that it's a healthy starch, though. That's good.
I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I just want to open this up just a little bit more because diving into the mind of Bart Scott with Thanksgiving food and his analysis, it's seamless how he does this. It's masterful. I just need one more for you.
Gotcha.
Cranberry sauce. I'm not a cranberry sauce guy.
Right.
I feel like it's just there. What's it really doing? How does that translate to a football team in the National Football League?
Well, it's like depth of flavor, right? So, like, you don't eat cranberry sauce by itself. It's something just to give you a different bite, a hint of sweet tartness, you know what I mean? So I like to slice it up. And I don't like that fancy fufu stuff. Don't give me that stuff with the little berries and the nuts and all that stuff in it. No. Pop out that can of Ocean Spray and cut the little gelatin. Cut it really thin and put it on top of the stuffing just so you have a little depth of flavor, so it's a little tartness to that savory sage and all that stuff that you have in there. So if I would say that, who would that be who I want in doses that I'm excited to see? That would probably be the Arizona Cardinals because they're like third in the league, but they're exciting to watch. But I prefer the Rams and I prefer Russell Wilson because I love watching me some Russell Wilson. But it's like, all right, I can deal with this Kyler Murray. I can like D-Hop, and guess what, their colors are close to cranberry sauce.
The man is a walking opening soundbite, Shay.
The Cardinals just were so insulted.
This is why I go out and I recite the can't wait speech all the time.
I know.
Because when a man speaks, gems just come out. It's incredible.
It is good. I'm surprised when he comes on the show, he doesn't go, Keyshawn. I wish he did.
Barstow. Way to have my back, Keyshawn.
Yeah, exactly. We love it.
Yeah. Keyshawn's sleeping right now. He
good for
watch,
him.
Watch your own damn show, Keyshawn. Help the ratings.
Bart Scott, thank you so much for the time. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Go enjoy your canned cranberry.
I appreciate it. You enjoy your tuna casserole.
Goodbye. Goodbye. We're asking Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation to describe an NFL team using a Thanksgiving dish. The Eraser just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed and said the Jets are pork fried rice because that isn't a Thanksgiving dish and the Jets aren't a football team. Dang, the Eraser came with like
because this
some
really allows
real
you to really like get some shots in if you want to be good with this. I'm going to glean positive. You asked me in the last segment and I was getting a rush on this to break. I want to go positive. I'm going to go mac and cheese or the Kansas City Chiefs because it's essential. You got to have it. It's always good unless the wrong person's making it. But the right person's making it there and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So mac and cheese is the Kansas City Chiefs.
I thought you were going to say the right person's making it in your house. That would be me.
You are making it. You didn't know it belonged on Thanksgiving. Now you're making it.
Yeah.
I should be very nervous, everybody, for what Thanksgiving's going to look like this afternoon. But my wife is a brilliant cook, and I got great faith in her. I saw you in the peripheral of my eye. I saw you give me the look that was like, hey, when the show ends, I still got to go home with you, start
and
complimenting you. Don't take shots.
Yeah, don't.
I got you.
Shay Cornett, Jordan Cornett hanging out with you on Thanksgiving morning. Yeah. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. And you can join the
guys
show.
Guys in my ear, cheer me on. Good recovery. I felt good about that.
You can join the show on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. It's 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save on over $750 on average. All right, let's go A to Z.
From Chicago to Philly and everywhere in between, from A to Z.
A to Z is brought to you by Redbox. Redbox has new movies at the box and streaming on demand. Don't miss Unhinged, starring Russell Crowe. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. All right. Alabama coach Nick Saban has tested positive for COVID-19. He's going to miss the Iron Bowl this weekend against Auburn. 69-year-old Saban has very mild symptoms, so that is very good news. Since the test results are not being treated as false positives, because he's already had one of those this year, if you remember, and then was able to coach in that game, Saban will have to isolate for 10 days, so he will not coach on Saturday. There's no way he's going to do that. Steve Sarkisian will serve as Alabama's interim head coach for the Iron Bowl. Saban tested positive for COVID-19 before Alabama faced Georgia, as I just mentioned earlier this year, but he was asymptomatic, and he was able to test out of it by having three straight days of negative testing. Alabama is a 24.5-point favorite at home against Auburn on Saturday. Here is Nick Saban on how he's going to consume and watch the game from the comforts of his own home.
I'll have the same feed that, you know, we take of the game, which is the film that we watch on Sunday. So I'll be able to see a little bit more what's happening, kind of like if you're in the press box type of thing. So I can't really have any communication during the game or at halftime. So we'll do the best we can to try to analyze what's happening and see if there's any way that we could, you know, be of some kind of use. But I have confidence in our coaches and our players that, you know, they'll be able to do what they have to do. I mean, we all got to live with the consequences of what happens, whether I'm standing there or not. So that's something I hope everybody realizes.
Okay, first of all, I am glad to hear that Nick Saban has mild symptoms. He's feeling okay. Obviously, you can hear that he's going to be consuming the game from the game feed, that's how they normally watch the game amongst all the coaching staff. And he says he's not going to have much communication during the game or at halftime. Please.
You don't believe that, huh?
Please. You don't think Nick Saban's going to dial up Steve Sarkisian and be like, stop running this, start doing that. This is how we're, come on.
Well, if you look at the schedule, it's massive for this team. I mean, after this game, all they have is Arkansas left on the schedule. Auburn, 22 ranked team, and it's a rivalry game, and we've seen very crazy things happen in the Iron Bowl. There's got to be some real trepidation for Alabama not having their figure, the face of the program, there on the sidelines. I mean, it's the number one team in the country. In a lot of ways, people believe Mac Jones is the Heisman, or when it's all said and done, will win the Heisman quarterback there at Alabama. It's a brilliant defense. It's a team that hasn't shown many vulnerabilities this season. You've got Ohio State in the mix. You got Notre Dame in the mix. You got Clemson in the mix. You got some other teams out there. One stumble, and it gets even more interesting for the College Football Playoff Committee and how they judge this team, trying to juggle with all these balls in the air, the different amount of games each conference is playing. So Nick Saban not being on the sidelines, I don't care if he's involved, if he's talking to the staff, where he's watching it from, him not being there is definitely part of the story. Auburn's a capable team, and in a rivalry game like this, anything is possible.
So the Iron Bowl has been played in Tuscaloosa 12 times. When Nick Saban has coached that game, Alabama is 5-1. When he hasn't, Auburn is 6-0.
He was a part of prep, though.
He was a part
of prep leading up to this game, which is important. It's not like they were without him the entire week. So that is of some significance here. But again, not having your guy there on game day erases the feeling of stability. And you do feel like you're a little bit frenzied before that ball's even been kicked off.
And by the way, the College Football Playoff rankings just came out. Where's Alabama?
Boom, at the top.
At the very top. I don't know if that adds a little extra pressure considering those you know, there's no room for error essentially at this point, especially given the way the season has gone. There's not as many games being played. Not everyone's playing at the same time. So this is a really important game for Alabama for a lot of ways. But to think that Nick Saban's not going to come out and give his opinion when he's capable of doing so, he can make a phone call. I mean, there's a million ways to communicate nowadays.
To me, with the challenge in front of him, this has got to be the biggest potential for upset here for Alabama in their 10-game offering.
I agree with you. We will see. Iron Bowl is this Saturday. We got lots more to get to here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The one stat that proves this year's Thanksgiving slate is very, 2020. That's next. The Cornettes are in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the Sirius XM Channel 80. You still haven't given me the absolute best Thanksgiving dish. I'm going to give you mine. It's the gravy, and it's the Chiefs. I'm going to tell you why later. That's coming up next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.